Okay, so in our last class, we were just getting into the introduction of Judges. We had just finished up Joshua. And we talked about, how we saw this, what had happened in Joshua. We had seen that there was the 40 years in the wilderness, and then that was purged, and Joshua led this new generation. And, we looked at the very end of Joshua, where it talks about how all those had served in the days of Joshua, and then the elders that had The elders that had followed. We'll get my brain going here in just a second. We'll go over here to the last chapter of Joshua. And so we see in verse 31, it said, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders." That's what I was looking for, all the days. So we saw how they were serving God during this time, during the time of Joshua, and the time right after that when there was elders who survived Joshua. So we see that happening, and then we're going to see something different, some change after a point here in Judges. So verse 10 of Judges, chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it starts off talking about what we just looked at, that, all of these that had served Joshua or served during that time, that generation were gathered to their father. So they had passed. So, and also like we saw the elders of that day. So these have passed. These have died. So now what? Now what's going to take place? And that's when we start seeing some of the change that's going to go on. So verse 10 also says in the later half that there arose another generation. So you've got this new generation. And they did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. So they didn't know God, and they didn't know all that had been done for Israel. And then in verse 11, we start to see this unfaithfulness. It starts talking about the unfaithfulness and where this generation went wrong. And again, we're in Judges 2. Yes, ma'am. Okay, and is that an issue we've run into before? Do we see those kinds of things happen? That's true. That brings up a good point. So, as parents, is it our duty to teach our children what God's ways is? It is. So that's a good point that's brought up. So yes, there arose this generation, whatever the reasoning why. And then you see that they are going to be unfaithful. So you see their unfaithfulness. And so where did they go wrong? What went wrong? In 11 through 15, I'm not going to break it down too much because some of that we'll do when we get into Judges 1 through 3. But right now, we're just looking at the introduction, just trying to get an idea of, or kind of an overview of what's taking place here. But in 11 through 15, it talks about how Israel abandoned the God of heaven. You know, it uses the term forsook, at least in the version I'm using. We see that a couple of times in verses 12 and in verses 13. It says that they forsook the Lord. So they have abandoned the God of heaven, the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God that their fathers served. And that God that Joshua served, that we just looked at. So they're abandoning those ways. And we know what takes place when that happens. It's not anything new. We saw this in Joshua. It says here that the anger of the Lord burned against them. So the Lord is not pleased. And we will see how he addresses that. He allows them to be distressed. Verse 15, if you look at it, we'll just look at 15b. It says, severely distressed. So they were severely distressed. And then, therefore, your need for the judges. And we will see some more of that. So we're going to see some things concerning this cycle that they seem to be running into. And verses 16 through 19 seem to explain this cycle. At least to me, it gives some good information about this cycle that's going on. So let's look together over at 16 through 19 to see what it says about this that's will be reoccurring. Verse 16 points out, it says, then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them. So again, we see an idea of a deliverer. Remember when we were defining judges or what a judge is in this section, that mainly that's what we're going to see, that they were delivering them or saved them. So we see again this idea of a deliverer according to verse 16. And then also in 18a, you'll see that again. It says the Lord raised up judges for them. So these are the people that the Lord raised up that would deliver them from the those who plundered them, those who oppressed them. So we see this idea of suffering. Suffering, that's going to be one of the terms we're going to use. I'm going to bring up a chart here in just a second. And that the Lord sent a deliverer, a way to overcome this suffering. So this idea of salvation. And then in verse 17, it says, and yet they did not listen to their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bowed down to them. So that's the idea of sin. Again, which we're going to see. Like I said, this is explaining a cycle, something that's going to start happening that we see a lot starting in really chapter 3, verse 6, on all the way up to 16. You're gonna see this cycle happening. So this is the idea of sin. And then it said they turned aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers, so they were not obedient. And verse 18 says, and when the Lord raised up the judges for them, the Lord was the judge and the deliverer, and delivered them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. So he allowed them to deliver them. And again, that is going to be the idea of salvation. So for the Lord was moved to pity them because of or by their groaning. So they were their supplication, their crying out, their petition. And the Lord moved pity or had pity for them because of this, and then therefore, that's when we see the judges. But because of those who oppressed and afflicted them, again, they're suffering. So that's why he had pity for them, and that's why they were groaning. And then verse 19, but it came about when the judge died that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers. So we're seeing here, I'm going to get this chart out because we're going to look at it here in just a second. Actually, we'll go ahead. Does everybody have one of these? A chart like this? Okay. And who all needs one? Okay. Anybody else? Keith, are you back here? Can you give me a couple of the blank charts, please, sir? Okay. Oh, I gave mine away. Good thing I have one with some of my information on it. Can you see? I think Shonda. Anybody else need one of these? Thank you, sir. Okay. All right, good deal. Okay, so on this chart, getting a little ahead of myself, at least where I introduced it on the lesson, but on this chart, we have a chart here that this is not mine. I borrowed this from Steve. He uses a chart like this. Basically, I just recreated it, but it's basically the same chart. I just changed a little bit of the wordings and the instruction, and that's about it. So, this is not mine. It's borrowed from Steve, but it's a good chart because in these in chapter 3 through 16, all the way through 16:31, you're going to see where some of these judges, not all the judges, are going to be used for this list, but some of these judges, it gives a lot of information as far as this cycle that we're talking about right here. You're going to see this idea of sin, which is on the chart. You're going to see the idea of suffering. You'll see an idea of this supplication, or they cried out, and the idea of salvation, what the Lord did in order to get them past that. And then as we just read, you know, once that judge dies, then here we go again. It's going to happen again. And when we looked at verse 19, it says, But it came about when the judge died that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers. So they're going to, in this cycle, they're going to act more corruptly than the generation or the group before them. They're going to see how, you know, others had run into this and God saves them from it. Same answer. You get a judge and they go through the same cycle. You think you would figure it out after watching one example of it happening, but we see here it doesn't. But we see this because at the one part of the chart, we'll get more into it, but you're going to see this is quite a bit of years that this goes on. So we're not talking about it. It just happened once, and we see it over and over and over, and how long they were oppressed, but then how long that they had this salvation because of the judge, because that is what God allowed. And then as soon as that judge died, it starts all over. So that's why I'm calling it this cycle. I think verses 16 through 19 in chapter 2 help explain that. On my chart, I put that up in my little corner. Just put it up here so I would just remember. And when we go to fill these out, you know, you don't have to sit here and fill the whole chart out. Once we get into chapter 3, the chapters, we're going to see some of this and go over some of this in class. So as you're preparing for that class and reading these chapters, then that would be a good time to kind of just look at this chart and say, okay, what's it telling me about this group here about their sin, about their suffering, about their supplication. Who saved them? What judge was sent? And that's when you can fill that out. And the very top is going to have these six times or these sections where you will see this happening. So we have chapter 3, two of them in chapter 3, 1 and 4, and then 6 through 8, 10 through 12, and 13 through 16, basically. So as you prepare for those classes, that'd be a good time to get this chart out and fill in those blanks. So this is the idea of what I'm calling the four S's. I'm sure I did not coin that term, but to me that's a good term for it. Four S's: sin, suffering, supplication, salvation. And as we look further in Judges, we will see this, like we said, we're going to see this happening over and over: sin, suffering, supplication, and salvation. And that happens over and over. And I keep saying 3:6, I think. It's 3:7. So in Judges 3:7, all the way up to chapter 16, verse 31, is where you're going to see this. Make sure I didn't write it down wrong. Oh, that's right. Okay. That's what I meant to say this time. So we've kind of gone over the chart. We've explained why, well, at least why I think it was titled Six Cycles of the Judges. I'm not the creator of that, so Steve can speak on that if he wishes, but the way I take it, it's because this is the six times we see all this information. We see where it's answering all of these questions. Well, with the exception, we'll see of one. But at least that's why I'm thinking. Is that why you were calling it the six cycles, Steve? It's the six cycles of Judges? Basically because it's happening these six times? So that's, so I was correct in that. All right. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't misspeaking since it's a borrowed chart. So, like we said, as we get to those materials and you're preparing for those classes and reading those sections, then that's a good time to fill that out. As Steve just mentioned, it doesn't have a lot of information on all of the judges. And that's what this next little section I had put in the material is where we're going to look at some of these judges, the judges that are listed in this book. So in this book, in Judges, we will see some judges listed. And I noted on there that there's a couple ways that you can number how many judges there is, so because it just really depends on how you're considering who a judge is or some of the factors that we see in here. So it just really depends. Not necessarily wrong or right, but we'll look at some things to think about because there's two of them in mind, so I didn't ask for you to fill out who those were, because that would mean that you would know exactly what I'm looking for, that particular person. So I put on there number 5, Barak, and we'll talk more when we get to him, and then Abimelech. And I put reasons why one might or might not consider them. And it there's not a wrong answer, but we do know for certain that there's 12 that are called judges in this book. Again, I want to state in this book. So we've got the first judge that it speaks about, and that's in 3:7. Remember, we said that it's going to start talking about these cycles in 3:7. So in 3:7-11, what judge is being spoken of? What's his name? Othniel. Okay, do you remember? We get an explanation because we saw some of this. Actually, some of this information was in Joshua as well. Do you remember who Othniel is? Nephew. Let me see here. Let's read that. I believe it's nephew. Verse 9b, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So Caleb's younger brother's son. So that'd be, yeah, like his nephew. So that's who this Othniel is. And he's the first judge that was raised up. Now we have a second one, and he was also in this section that we're in. We're not in 1 through 3 yet. So in section 3, 12 through 30, who's this second judge? Ehud. Okay, Ehud. Was there anything unique about him? Okay, he was a left-handed judge. Okay, and what about the third one? It's in 3 as well. Shamgar. It tells us a whole lot about Shamgar, doesn't it? No? he is mentioned in 5, but pretty much this is the information we have, 3:31. And it says, after him came Shamgar, the son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with the ox goad, and he also saved Israel. And then it moves on. So that's our third judge. Now remember, if y'all have any comments or thoughts or anything, just flag me down. I'm looking up every once in a while. So, okay, what about the fourth judge in chapters 4 through 5? Deborah, okay. Deborah, what else does it tell us about her? Prophetess, okay. So Deborah the prophetess. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, so we'll get some explanation there. Steve was just telling us, if you didn't hear him, that's why there's the certain judges we're going to see on these 6 cycles, because it does explain this cycle that we're seeing, this sin and suffering and supplication and salvation. Because some of them, like we just saw here on 3:31, it doesn't say a whole lot. It says they were a judge, and it said that he saved Israel, but that's about all it says. So some of these, again, some of these are not going to be listed. Because we just started off saying that we're going to list 12 to 14 of these judges from the book of Judges. And we're only listing 6 cycles. So that tells you, Out of those 12 to 14, there's only 6 of them that's going to go into a lot of that detail that we see, or that cycle. But again, like we looked at in 2:16 through 19, it kind of defines that cycle. And that is what we're going to see coming forth from 3:7 all the way to 16:31. Is this cycle going on over and over, and they're just not getting it. So 4 was Deborah. I put on there 5 is Barak. Now you might not consider him a judge. It doesn't come out and call him a judge. But if you look at, I think I put it on the lesson. Let's look at Hebrews 11:32. And here it doesn't say judge either, but So before, okay, let's start at 33 first, and we'll back up. So it's gonna talk about some people here, some men here that, verse 33, who by faith conquered kingdoms and performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, so on and so on. So verse 32 is going to talk about who some of these men are that they're talking about that did this by faith. And then in 32b, it says, tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and then it says of David and Samuel and the prophets. So, yeah, all of these aren't judges, but the first three, if you don't count Barak, he's in the mix of those. So you have Gideon, then you have Barak, Samson, Jephthah. Does that prove that he was a judge? No. But it's something to think about, something to consider. And when we get into chapters 4 and 5, we will see where he is a lot of the story with Deborah. So, and again, that doesn't prove him as a judge. He was a general that was used for this purpose. But we'll talk more about that when we get into 4 and 5 also. So just something to consider, that possibly you could number Barak as a judge. Any comments or anything to say about that? Okay. What about the sixth judge that's mentioned in chapters 6 through 8? Okay, so Gideon. And then we have the seventh one. This was another one that I gave. And just put it that way because if you don't count him because he was a usurper. So some might count him, some might not. So that's Abimelech. And what about in chapter 10, 1 through 2, who was this one? Tola. Okay. And also in 10, you'll see it in 3 through 5, who was this judge? Jair. And what about chapter 12? And I almost skipped one. Okay, so chapter 10, 6 through 12, 7, who is that talking about? Jephthah. And then the next one we see will start in, that's in chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. And who's that? Ibzan. And then verses 11 through 12 in chapter 12. Elon, okay. And I'm glad y'all are answering these because then I know if I'm pronouncing them wrong or not. But so I probably am. But what about verses 13 through 15 of chapter 12? Abdon. Okay. And who's the last one? Samson. So we're familiar with Samson. We'll see. And talking about him in chapter 13 through 16, we'll have Samson on there. So these are a list of the judges. Again, I said that these are the ones that are listed from this book. So from this book, you could count 12 to 14. And you could count even more if you would consider 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, I'm just going to kind of go through it just so you know why I mentioned that. In verse in 1 Samuel, you could count Eli, because it mentions him, 1 Samuel 4:18. So 4:18, it said, he, talking about Eli, judged Israel 40 years. You could count him. According to a couple of chapters over, chapter 7, you could count Samuel. It says, verse 6, you can see, says Samuel judged. If you go down to verse 15, it says Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Verse 16, he judged. 17, he judged Israel. So we see this idea. You could count Samuel. But again, we were mainly looking at the book of Judges. So, you know, why are these two not listed in the book of Judges? Don't know. Not sure. But possibly is because they also have some other things that they're focusing on about these men. Eli, he was viewed primarily as a priest, a high priest. We can see that in 1 Samuel 1:9. And Samuel, he was primarily viewed as a prophet. And that can be seen in 1 Samuel 3:19 through 21. So, whereas these that we're looking at in Judges, they were primarily raised up for that purpose of what we are saying a judge is in this section, a deliverer. So, and then also you could, if you're counting that in 1 Samuel, you could count Samuel's sons. In 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 3, I think it's actually verse 2 where it speaks about the two sons, Joel and Abijah. But you could count them. And but it said also that they didn't follow the ways of Samuel. But that's just some thoughts as far as maybe you could count four more if you weren't counting just Judges, if you used 1 Samuel as well. And that's just something to think about. But the main thing is, again, we're talking about Judges. We're talking about the book of Judges. We're talking about how that term judge is used in this book. Because we started off, we looked at how the term judge could have not just the meaning as what we're seeing here, but we're seeing a focused thought over and over in this book of Judges when it talks about these judges. It's talking about a deliverer, you know, someone that God used to deliver Israel from that suffering that they were having once they cried out, once they had their supplication. So remember, sin, suffering, supplication, salvation. So that's what we are going to see in the book of Judges. Are there any questions or anything we need to speak on that before we go to the next section? No? Okay. Well then, so that's the introduction. Now we'll get into the actual book of Judges. We're going to look at, we'll start here with Judges 1 through 3. We won't finish 1 through 3. So we will, wherever we leave off today, we'll pick that up in the next class and also go through 4 through 5. So if you don't have 4 through 5, I put copies in the back there. So pick that up if you would. So Judges 1 through 3. This, at the top of the list, or the top of the lesson, is split up in 8 sections. chapter 1, you have chapter 1, verse 1 through 36, pretty much talking about Israel's failure to drive out the Canaanites. Then in chapter 2, 1 through 5, when we get into that, we're going to see this angel of the Lord and how he convicts them, or Israel, for their failure to drive out these inhabitants of the land, and their failure to tear down their altars. And he foretells the nation, or the national trouble, and what it would be the result of this. And that whole idea, what we see happening there, is going to kind of set the stage for the rest of the book, the things we're going to see in the rest of this book. Then in, still in chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, this explains the change in generations, this generation gap, if you will. So Joshua's generation served the Lord, and remember what we saw in chapter 2, verse 10b, it said that the next generation did not. So we have, building up to this, well, the book of Joshua, we had those that served the Lord. And then here we're going to see after, or in that verse 10, after that, the next generation did not. That's where it was speaking of it. In 2:11 through 19, we see the start of this cycle, or the explanation of this cycle. We'll actually see the start of it when we get into 3:7, but we see the explanation of this cycle and the different things as we kind of brought the thought out as we looked in that little section, the where we saw them doing our 4 S's, the sin, the suffering, the supplication, and then salvation. The Lord sends a judge, a deliverer. Then we have section 3, 7 through 11, where we start getting into, well, chapter 3 is where we're going to start getting into these actual judges, these deliverers, because as we just looked when we were naming these, we've got 3 of them in this section. Okay, so we're going to see in 7 through 11, Othniel, and then 12 through 30 is Ehud, and as we just made mention about Shamgar, one verse. So 3:31. So then we'll talk about Shamgar. Not a whole lot to be said, so we'll get through him real quick. But so that is the way these sections are kind of divided. So Judges 1:1. Let's start in Judges 1:1. Now we talked about this in the last class, some of these other verses that are going to talk about Joshua's death. But Judges 1:1, that's where it starts. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord." So what are they inquiring about? What's the issue? Verse 3. Let's look at 3. It says, "Then Judah said to Simeon, his brother, 'Come up with me into the territory allotted me.'" So consider our terminology. "The territory allotted me, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I in turn will go with you into the territory allotted you." So Simeon went with him. So according to, if you jump back up to verse 2, according to verse 2, God was going to give them success. Remember, that's a word we spoke about a lot in Joshua. God's going to give them success. Verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand." So they're going to have success. So God's going to give them this success. And so if they're having success, what does that tell us about Israel at this time? Okay, they were obedient. Good. I was wondering if, is that wording it right? Good. So y'all knew where I was going. Thank you. So they were obedient. That tells us, since they had the success, that they were doing the will of God. So he gives them success. And again, we saw that point over and over in Joshua, that terminology. And that's what we're going to see in basically verses 1, chapter 1, 1, all the way to 18. And note what we just looked at in verse 3, territory allotted me. That was Judah. And then territory allotted you, Simeon. This territory that was given them. You know, the way this book starts off, it gives the idea, I mean, because you're saying we need to go fight against them and get these territories. Let's jump backwards for a minute. Let's consider what we've already looked at in Joshua. Are God's promises fulfilled at this point? Are God's promises fulfilled at this point? Yes. Sorry, it wasn't a trick question. Or it wasn't meant to sound like one. So we've already seen back in Joshua, his promises have been fulfilled. But God's promise was not that they would possess the lands immediately. How long do I have, Keith? 1 minute. Okay. So mark this spot right here. This is where we're going to pick up in our next class. So, promises fulfilled. But that doesn't mean that they all that it all happened at one time, at one point. If you would, jot these down. We'll pick up in our next class, but jot down these verses. Read these. Look at Exodus 23, 29 through 30. That's Exodus 23, 29 through 30, and Deuteronomy 7, 22. Deuteronomy 7, 22. That's going to help maybe explain some of this idea a little bit. So I appreciate y'all's comments and your attention. Next class, we'll finish up starting here and get into 4 and 5. Thank you.